This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Jamie Smith and Alex Taylor. How are you guys?
We're very well, thank you, good. Chris.
Excellent. You guys are from the Online Wine Tasting Club.
Yep.
Which is quite an interesting business, a multi-award winning business. Multi-award-winning, you've pipped us at numerous awards, so that's really good. Thank you very much. Now, I think that's the end of the show now. No. So you guys are online, your online tastings, and more importantly, you obviously do some interesting, innovative packaging for your online tastings. We're going to do a whole show talking about your packaging solution, because I think that's quite cool, and you do that for a lot of other companies as well. But what I wanted to initially is, you guys have been going for about 2 years, but you've done a lot of really good stuff in 2 years. So
it's been a hard 2 years, that's for sure.
Interesting to say the least.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us in a nutshell, Jamie, just give us an overview of your business as it is now, and then what we're going to do is we'll go back to the beginning and just have a little bit of an evolution business.
Yeah, so absolutely. So right now we've got the Online Wine Tasting Club, which is our subscription service that people can get, you know, a monthly tasting delivered through their letterbox, join us online, and you know, either join live or they can do it on catch up. We've also got the packaging solution that we do the same thing for other people. And this kind of came out of our first business. So this is kind of a spin-off. Myself and Alex opened up a winery, wine bar, wine shop that's turned into this online tasting phenomenon when we went into COVID. So we're now here in Leighton Buzzard, but we've also got the other site over in Tring.
Okay, then that's like an urban winery, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So the original plan with that was, we met Alex in a previous job of mine. He wanted to make a bit of wine after studying down at Plumpton. I wanted to do something wine-related from years in hospitality. So we thought we could open, you know, a wine shop, showcase some great wines from around the world, from people that we know, we love those wines. Alex can make a little bit of wine, you know, a couple of barrels of this, some weird, quirky, fun stuff that we could source grape from.
Yeah, we've done crazy things like multinational blends. Like, yeah. You know, we've done sort of Italian Malvasia blended with Spanish Tempranillo Blanco in Tring. And, you know, well, what on earth do you label that? Well, we just call it Tring white wine. So, you know, that was about all we were allowed to after the wine spirits, the wine stands book.
I was going to say, I'm surprised you can call it wine.
Yeah, it's tough.
So that's where we're at. And that was the original plan. And we opened February 2020, which is obviously the best time to open a business. And
what happened in March?
Not much. A few details. Yeah,
it got a bit quiet.
COVID lockdown. Yeah, exactly.
It was funny. It was like we had this mad opening weekend. We had hundreds of people coming through the doors and seeing this new thing. The mayor was there drinking wine made in her town, going, Tring must be one of the most alcoholic towns in the whole of the country, because we've only got a few thousand people living there, but we've got a brewery, we've got a distillery, and now we've got a winery as well. So it was great. And then suddenly the weather just turned. Both physically, we had a whole bunch of gales. There was hailstones and fire and brimstone raining down, and then suddenly, just coming over the horizon, was this COVID thing. And people weren't desperate in the mood to go out and do a WSET course or do a wine tasting. They were just sort of holding up at home. And then, of course, lockdown happened, and it was a pretty big challenge for us. We'd spent all of our money on initial stock, on renovating this wine bar and wine shop, and bought all the barrels and all the kit that we needed, press and everything. And suddenly it was looking pretty bleak, to be honest.
What sort of press did you buy?
We start off with a hydro press, which is the one where you basically, it's a vertical press, like a kind of basket press, but rather than pushing down from above, you've got this rubber bladder that fills with water. So you just literally plumb it into your hose pipe, and it squeezes as it expands with the water. So,
but it's basket press effectively, because it's got oxygen.
Yeah, exactly. So it's quite an oxygen press. It's very manual. You're looking at, you just literally, you turn the you look at the pressure gauge and you turn the tap on and it squeezes and then you can release it and you break the brake or the K-cup and and go again. But yeah, it's quite a gentle press. But
you can learn a lot about a winery from their press.
You can. This is true. We just upgraded this year to a second-hand wooden basket press, which is a pneumatic thing, but can hold a quarter of a ton of grapes rather than about 40 kilos, which was the made doing things at any kind of scale, even a barrel scale, was a lot of presses for one barrel.
Okay, so COVID hits, business dries up.
Yep.
What do you do?
So when it went two ways. So the very first lockdown, we did all right out of the winery because you weren't able to get a wine delivery from anywhere else. You know, the supermarkets didn't have any stock, they weren't doing deliveries. So we ran through, you know, who knows, hundreds and half. I was ordering Sauvignon Blanc from Chile by, you know, the pallet, and it was how many cases of wine I can fit in the back of my Mini and drive around. So a Mini, great delivery vehicle. But what we'd also done is we'd had all these events booked because, you know, we wanted to be this experience-led wine shop that people would come in and try and taste something new. And it was, how do we not have to give people their money back? So we decided, Alex had this background in engineering communications and was aware of the Zooms and things like that that is now second nature to most people. And it's like, well, we could take the wine to the people. So, well, how do we do that? And we ordered some glass bottles in. I think like a lot of people who wanted to get into this online thing did to start with. And I was bottling through till 4 o'clock in the morning the day before to keep it as perfectly fresh as we could.
Yeah.
Bit of gas on the top, cap it. And then it was five or six little bottles in a brown paper bag, dropping them round Tring onto people's doorsteps.
You're basically the alcoholic milkman, weren't you?
Yes, absolutely. With my little glass bottles. We'd then do a Zoom call, talk through the wines. People could drink along, ask questions. And then the big thing was I went out the next morning and went round again to pick all these bottles up so we could sterilise them, reuse them, because that was a massive
cost.
Yeah.
And the amount of times that I've said at the end, could you please leave your, you know, if you're not going to be in, please leave your bottles outside their front door. At the beginning it was fine because everyone was meant to be in. You get there and you could just see them through their front window. They were just sat just inside the front door on the mat. I'm like, come on, I need those.
Yeah, and they'd finally come back. People would drop them back round after the lockdown lifted and they're full of moulds. Like, well, we can't do anything with that.
And at the point we had the new packaging, so we didn't need those. Yeah. Like, oh, what are we going to do? You know, I'd go down to the winery in the morning. There'd be like six bags of just glass bottles just lined up outside the door. It was a little bit surreal. Yeah. But,
and one doggy poo bag as well. Right at the end,
just keep everybody happy.
But it was mad because, like, when we had this initial thought, like, could we take the wine tasting online? Like I say, speaking from 2022, it's obvious. But when we went and we looked at this, we thought, well, what do we call it? Do we call it a virtual wine tasting? Do we call it an online wine tasting? And so we went and looked, and online wine tasting was available, the domain. And virtual wine tasting was available to the domain. So we bought all of the websites we could. And we went and we tried to trademark it. And we put the trademark with the first people to try to trademark this stuff. They didn't give it to us. But
I was going
to
say, yeah.
They said it was a bit too obvious. But
yeah, too generic.
By the time they were looking at it, everyone was doing it. So it was obvious. But when we sat down and we did this, it wasn't obvious. We weren't even locked down. So it was a kind of a bold move. But what was really funny was just looking at how much people loved looking into everyone else's houses via Zoom and saying, oh, they've got a nice kitchen, or that guy's fallen asleep, or they've just ordered a pizza. Yeah.
There's George's pizza. Where's he gone? And it was great. And there was not only the wine and the fun of drinking wine, but the banter and that social aspect where people couldn't get together. And I really believe, going back, the amount of people that have said, you saved our lockdown for us, and yes, business is important to do that, but being able to do that to brighten everyone's life a little bit, I felt we did some good for the world during that.
Okay, so you started out doing bottling and that, but one of the things that caught my eye was that you actually started building machinery to make pouches, and that was you've won a lot of awards for your pouches and things like that. We'll do a whole show on the technology behind that later on, but when did you decide you needed to go from bottles to pouches, and why? Because
I think it was April the 2nd,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, I think two things. It came down to scalability, and you know, we to begin, you know, do you remember when it was just going to be a 2-week lockdown and everything was going to be all okay afterwards? And it started to be, we had this core group of people and suddenly we were doing 70 and then we were doing 140 same tasting 2 nights in a row. And A, labour-wise, you know, I was going to have RSI on my wrist from rebottling all these things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Have you never heard of child labour and slave labour? You know, that's
we'll not talk about my kids packing wines down at the winery. That'd get me in trouble. But there was just, people wanted to share this experience with their friends who weren't local. So their friends in London or Manchester or wherever. And we had three big problems. A, glass is heavy and expensive to ship, so not only expensive in the first place to buy the glass bottles, then expensive to ship, so you're almost doubling the cost of your wine tasting than doing it just locally. And then also the preservation, very difficult in a glass bottle. If you're just pouring it in and doing it, you've not got a full-blown bottling line to do that and repackage. You know, if you're sending it out, you haven't got this, you know, 5-6 week shelf life. You couldn't do it at the weekends, you had to do it there and then. And also in 2020, we saw how, you know, every delivery service was under immense pressure. So when the wines did get there, we had broken glass and broken bottles. And all we can do as the person who supplied it is we put our hands up and go, well, we're sorry, you know. But people were relying on this online wine tasting. It was the highlight of their week or their month.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had to send the wine out so close to the tasting to be able to keep it fresh, to have any chance of it tasting like it should taste when it arrived. That if it turned up and it was broken, we couldn't fix that. You know, we could do the customer saying, yeah, we'll send you another sample up, we're really sorry. But we had to find a way to scale properly, to deliver properly, and to make sure if people couldn't taste on that particular day and wanted to taste the next week or 10 days later, that they could still have a good experience, that they wouldn't have oxidized wine, they wouldn't have, you know, that freshness gone, that acidity dropped. And this is where, you know, Alex started talking about this scalability, these posting costs, and how we could A, make it lighter, cheaper, easier to do, but also make sure the integrity of the wine was kept intact.
Yeah, okay. So when did you start developing the product, the tasting lane? Because I think you described it earlier when we had a look at it. It's like a, you know, it's like a sachet for sauces, but on a bigger scale, and obviously with different issues associated with, you know, tomato sauce to wine.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's you know, you can get all sorts of packaging machines. We spent months and months, and it was literally, it was after I spoke to a broken Jamie the morning after our very first tasting, and he had literally been up all night pumping gas into bottles and using the crown cap applicator and everything. And it was just, we've got all of these people who keep wanting to do this. We can't do this. And so I was stuck at home with the two young kids and trying to homeschool them, and every spare hour that I could, I was looking into every single option for packaging. And the more we looked into, well, why don't we use that thing, and the more the answer was, ah, no, you can't do that. And it was so frustrating. It was, you'd look at something like a Tetra Pak carton, which obviously does a great job of preserving orange juice, and that's got a lot of, you know, in many ways similar challenges to wine.
High acidity.
Yeah, high acidity, which can dissolve the plastics, you know. Yeah. But the when you look into this, I think one of the first things I found was that putting alcohol into pouches isn't new. So it's been done in Africa for years and years now, but they were putting in whiskey, brandy, rum, vodka into little sachets so that workers who'd spent the whole day doing work, casual work for cash, they couldn't afford to buy a whole bottle of it, but they could afford to go into their shop and buy 5 pouches of whiskey, and they'd get their friends and they'd have a whiskey, and that's a nice little reward for the day. Until they started doing some analysis on what was actually inside these things, and they found that the alcohol and the well, particularly the alcohol in that case, it can dissolve the plastics, and they found high levels in these really cheap films and plastic containers of mercury and heavy metals and of carcinogenic compounds that had come out of the thing. So you think you're having a nice drink, actually you're giving yourself cancer and potentially brain damage. And so you'd suddenly realise it weighed on my shoulders. Oh, we've got to be super, super careful with this thing. And we've got to do it right. And the other thing was the amount of money you had to spend on this equipment to automate it. So you've got to do it right. It's the cheapest of these machines are around about £100,000.
Gosh. And yeah.
A Tetra Pak machine, probably about £2 million. So there was lots of things that came really close and could do a sort of good enough job. You know, they'd have the oxygen transfer rate sorted. That would be fine, but it wouldn't have an inert gas process, and it wasn't sterile, and you know, loads of other things. So it was a lot of research, a lot of phoning around, a lot of trying to, you know, things where you could have gone to a trade show in non-COVID times, or things where you could have gone visit the manufacturer. It was very hard to find the right solution. Our very first machine we ordered from China cost a whacking great. We thought we could find something cheap.
We thought we'd solve the world. We found the packaging solution we wanted. Absolutely. We ordered it from China for £1,000 delivered.
Just
if anyone fancies doing this, £1,000 delivered from China does not solve your packaging.
Please don't.
Normally you get like a top instead. You know, we've delivered it. I mean, I've bought stuff from China and it's turned up. And it's the different product than the one I ordered.
Yeah. And it is astonishing. This thing that sailed into... first of all, it came on a boat from China, and it arrived into Germany, sailed straight into the European Union, and then came across to us with completely fake paperwork. You know, and it's funny, the people talk about the sanctity of the single market and all the great rules we've got protecting us. Well, what does it mean if nobody's actually checking them? But these things sailed in, and it was a death trap, frankly. That's the only way to describe it. Was I before I even plugged it in, I took the cover off and had a look at it, and I'm like, oh my God.
You followed the red wire, and the red wire turned black, and then green, and then back
blue,
to red.
And then,
it was like it was a rainbow in there on one wire.
And the pump which was going to pump the wine, which claimed that it was accurate on the data sheet to half a milliliter, it was a bilge pump from a caravan. So it wasn't designed to carry drinking water, let alone stuff like... so you'd get oil in it, you'd get plastics in the wine. None of the pipes were fit for things. And we learned a big lesson there, that you can go cheap on this stuff, but it's really not a good idea. It's really
So what did
not.
You do with it?
It's downstairs.
It's downstairs
we'll
for sure, too.
Yeah. It's there
it's
as
kind of
a
like
monument.
A memento, yeah. Trophy. Their trophy cabinet.
Yeah, expensive bit of trophy there.
Exactly. A lesson in how not to do things. And so immediately afterwards, we went back to some of the other people we'd spoken to and placed the order for the right machine. And so that was then a few months of waiting and going through the details. And it finally turned up, and we'd had this website ready to launch, and it was just after people were coming out of lockdown, and we thought, is this going to still have a market? Do people still want to sit at home and drink wine? It was a really kind of concerning time. But ultimately what we found is that people who went on our tastings, they weren't the usual wine tasting crowd. The usual wine tasting crowd, who are real keen geeks like us, you know, they want to know about Brix levels, they want to know about rootstocks, they want to know about, you know, what kind of soil is this, and, you know, have you done these biodynamic practices? These were people who just buy wine from the supermarket, and they wanted to know a little bit more, not a lot more. Yeah.
Why they like it, why they like it.
Yeah.
If I like this, what else might I like?
What else might I like? And to try something they wouldn't have tried before. And so we were getting comments from these people that A, they loved it, and B, we had ruined them. And it was genuinely that thing. Yeah, you saved our lockdown, but you ruined our drinking habits because we can't go back to buying
previously. We've had a big step up.
Yeah, it's like, oh.
Yeah, my dad was a bit like that. He was very much of the opinion, I'm not going to ever learn about wine. I said, why not? And he goes, well... I like the cheap stuff I drink now.
The moment you've tasted the good stuff, how do you go back to that without thinking this is a bit disappointing? And that's, you know, we didn't want to make people into wine snobs. What we wanted to do is to shift people up from the £5 price point up to the kind of £8 to £10 price point.
So tell us about your packaging solution now.
Yeah, so we've when it finally turned up, we were doing it in a small shed around the back of Tring Winery, and we did the live show from the winery itself, and the packaging.
By the way, we don't call them sheds; we call them studios.
Studios, that's the one. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. We're gonna get good foundations done. Absolutely.
Ours was definitely a shed.
Ours as a whole, I think you could call it. It was prove the concept before you make stupidly huge investments. And so, yeah, we what we settled on was we had to get it into a letter size, and the letter size was absolutely key.
Why was that?
Because you know, for shipping glass bottles, we were looking at paying £10 plus VAT. And people who want to try some wine, they're looking at the cost of how much it would cost to buy a bottle. And it, particularly when it's that drinking audience, rather than that I'm going to go and explore lots of wine. They wanted just to try six different drinks. And they didn't see a value in packaging or in postage. So to get down
postage
to that...
Postage is the same price as buying a bottle of wine.
Yeah, exactly. If not more.
A decent bottle of wine.
A decent bottle of wine. Yeah, for £12... But you can go down to the supermarket and get some really good stuff for £12. So,
or your local wine shop.
Or your local independent winery. Such as Dream Winery, for example.
Well, he's got every chance to plug it. That's
Damn right. So getting the packaging and the postage cost down and that letter size was absolutely key, partly because... And it's fine when everyone was locked down and at home. They were very keen to see us when we turned up on the doorstep with five bottles of wine. And we were the first company that they'd seen for days. And people would stop and chat to us for God knows how long. But for people who are out, being able to stick it through their letterbox was really, really important. So that meant getting it down to about 23 millimetres thick. And that rules out pretty much every bottle on the market. It even rules out the glass tubes that some people are using. And the moment you go up, then it shoots up to being a parcel. And a parcel that's fragile, it's a real challenge. So we realised that with the weight limit and the size limit, the only real options were flexible packaging. And flexible packaging can take a beating as well, because it deforms rather than smashing. And then it came down to, well, what film won't kill people if we put wine in it or give them diseases, and what will protect the wine? And everyone knows it's all about oxidation. So we had to create this inert process which would basically keep the wine protected while we're bottling it, and then flush all of the gas out of the package and make sure that no oxygen seeped in. Because there's films, and you look at a standard... We'll do the deep dive, but there's a vast difference in terms of how fast the wine goes off.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so you got your machine up and running.
Yep.
You're starting to do tastings for that. But now, if you look at your business, you're doing things for Naked Wine Company, Laithwaite's, all sorts of people. So how did that all come about?
So it jumped it well... Alex, I'll tell you that Jancis wrote a little bit about us, and the day after that, or the day that came out, Alex received a call from Naked Wine from Ray O'Connor, stood on the top of a mountain, going, "I need to come and see what you guys are doing." Yeah. So, he is absolutely on point, cutting edge. He knows what he doesn't know about wine is.
It's funny, there's a lot of stuff said about Naked Wines, and a lot of independent wine merchants get a little bit irritated in many ways by them, and I can only say that our dealings with them, they've had a real focus on quality of the wine, and that's been very, very noticeable. And I think he has a massively innovative approach, a very quick thinking head on him, and so the moment he saw this, he saw it as an option to solve this problem of letting people try before they buy, and so he came down to visit us, and a huge thanks to Ray O'Connor, because he's helped us iterate our process and start to... It was something as simple as what we thought we'd do was we'd flush the headspace of the wine. So we would fill it up and we'd get the oxygen out of there by squirting in nitrogen, which would use not so much nitrogen. And that was great. And Ray said, yes, but you're filling it into the air. So the oxidation process happens the moment you pour it into that pouch. So fill the pouch with nitrogen first and then put the wine in and then seal it. And that was a massive game changer in terms of the
shelf
wine
life and longevity. Yeah. Absolutely. But we're with the B2B stuff, we've got this club that we love. We love the Online Wine Tasting Club. We do it twice a month and it's fantastic. And we've got lots of great members, fantastic people. But wine is a crowded space. We all know that. And the marketing cost to try and drive and build more and more and more and more consumers onto the Online Wine Tasting Club, it's tough and it's expensive. So we thought, if we've got this fantastic solution, why not share this fantastic solution with people who have already got 1 million customers, 500,000 customers? So allow people to take their products to the people. Because I truly believe what we do is game-changing. The fact that we can allow people to try before they buy across whatever level of wine you want to drink. We've done everything from 6.99 bottles of wine for you know one of our partners, to we put Ornellaia and Beaucastel in pouches for a Christmas tasting, and it allows people on A to try before you buy it, for, to find your next everyday drinking. I want a case of this, but also it allows people to drink kind of thing, you know? A bucket list. If you go, am I going to buy a bottle or a case of Beaucastel? Maybe
if,
not.
If you buy it, so you buy a case of Beaucastel, it's an investment, and that's the problem. You know, it's it. If you open it, the moment you open it, you've destroyed your investment. And I hate it. I hate the fact that it is an investment, but I can't change reality. But what we can do is at least let more people try what those wines, which just become, you know, the kind of the sort of they're sitting up there on the pedestal and no one actually knows what they taste like. How, if you're studying for your MW or your diploma, you might be blinded with one of these. What are you supposed to do? Spend an absolute fortune on vintage Bordeaux and, you know, first growth stuff? Or what if you could just have a pouch of it? It's a much more sensible way of doing it. And what you guys have done with your WSET courses is exactly the same. It's so much more accessible than having to buy 40 bottles to try 40 wines for your... Was it level 3 is about that, isn't it? Yeah.
Level 3 is 50.
50, odd. Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite...
A lot of wine. That's an expensive job.
All right then, guys. I think we'll wrap it up there.
Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
Pleasure.